Hello, everyone. Welcome to Richfield Tiger Talk. I'm your host, Dr. DeSantis, and we're talking trash today. Trash talk, Tiger talk. Actually, this is going to be the nicest, most wholesome trash talk ever happening, because joining us on today's podcast, a returning voice, is Tiffany Carlson. Tiffany, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dr. DeSantis. Thank you for having me back.
Oh, no problem. So glad to have you back. And for those who, and we have a lot of new listeners this year, by the way, I'm just letting you know that the numbers of Tiger Talk have really exploded. So we have a lot of people who may not know who you are that live in town. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Certainly. Currently, I'm serving the town as the part-time recycling coordinator. I've lived here since 2002. Mm-hmm. All my children have gone through the Richfield Public Schools and have been active in the environmental conservation space for many years now.
Ah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And being part of this job, do you like align yourself with, I know there's committees in town about like protecting certain areas and whatnot. Is that like part of like the whole umbrella of like environmental management here in Richfield?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. I have been active with Richfield Action Committee for the Environment, mm-hmm. But I have to be at arm's distance as an employee of the town. So
absolutely.
While I can participate with them, they advise the first selectman, and that advice needs to be independent of my activities as a recycling coordinator. But mm-hmm. the primary function of my role in the town yep. is to educate the public about the current recycling rules and how we can all be more mindful to make less waste.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so funny because, I grew up with my grandparents. They were World War II generation, and that was the generation that did not waste anything.
Nope.
I still have the coffee cans that are holding nuts and bolts in my garage, mason jars used for like separating out things in the basement for, little fidgets and widgets. So I've always been in that mindset of like, if you can reuse it, definitely do it.
That's great, Dr. DeSantis. Absolutely. And it's just a function of the speed of our life that's yep. picked up over these generations and the need for convenience.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of in the past few generations, there's like some big news happening with the Town Recycling Center. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I'm really excited to share with the community that the Richfield Recycling Center is celebrating their 50th anniversary. It was actually constructed in April 20th of 1974, brought about by the efforts of a group of concerned citizens.
Yeah.
that we were already recycling, but kind of like out of the back door of the town garage.
Yeah.
So they raised money in the infamous town dump ball and put funds together, also donations from residents, and they actually ran it as a volunteer effort in the town until the town took it over. So it really was a grassroots, the citizens realized the need for this. And as you said, to be more mindful that we were putting things in the garbage that really still had value.
Absolutely. And honestly, 50 years, that brings us, I believe, to like the early 1970s, which is way ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
I remember, I kind of grew up in the 90s, and that was kind of the big push for recycling. I remember when my house got the first recycling bin, because right. I lived in a city and we have like city trash pickup. And I remember I was in middle school or something, and then they were like, here's this new blue bin for recycling. And I'm like, oh, what's this? What's recycling? And that's like, the mid-90s or early 90s.
Yes. This group of individuals, which actually, to give a little bit of the history, if you want a more in-depth explanation, the Historical Society partnered with me to put up displays in Town Hall. And it goes into a lot greater depth. But it came about... In our community, people used to burn their trash in their backyard.
Oh.
And then there was a gentleman that had a piece of property right where the recycling center is now, that townspeople could come and just throw their garbage if they didn't want to burn it in their backyard. So the League of Women Voters is responsible actually for getting the ball rolling. They formed this group that at the time was called the Ridgefield Environmental Action Program. Oh. And that's really why back in the 1970s, Ridgefield was so far ahead. We were up and running with a recycling service to the community well before it became the law in Connecticut to recycle, which was 1991.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah, now I remember, you know, makes sense now because I was, that makes sense when I remember the recycling bins come out. How'd be like 1991?
That's right. Towns were required to provide a means by which their residents, if they were not subscribing to private curbside pickup, to be able to recycle.
Oh, absolutely. That's so cool. That is so cool. So, well, first off, congratulations on the 50-year anniversary, and what a, you know, neat feather in the town's cap. That's so cool.
It really is. The town was compliant the very first day that the law went into effect, and the recycling center has a few bragging rights as far as being the first with certain what we call extended producer responsibility programs, being able to get those set up and running for residents right away, and we also most recently are most proud of our solar-powered municipal composting capability for food scraps.
Ooh, yes. Yeah. And in fact, I believe that was what you talked about on the show last year. Why don't you give us a quick little recap of what that is for people who might not know?
Absolutely. If you're a user of the recycling center, which is the best deal in town, a $20 permit.
Yeah.
You can bring all of your organics and drop them off. And all of them means if you're doing backyard composting, that's great, but you're probably not putting in meat, bones, shellfish scraps, anything organic you can bring to our drop off. We take it up the hill in the back of the transfer station and are able to compost the material rather quickly by using an aerated system, which means we force air into those compost piles and it breaks the material down. It makes the microbes really happy and they
Get
work
the feed
better.
Off of it quicker. Yep.
Exactly. So we're really excited about that. We're the first in the state that is an ongoing ASP powered composting pile. And we've had visitors from all over the state come and check it out.
And what happens? So the compost takes its time. It turns into amazing soil or useful for organic growing. Where does that go? So,
well, town is very pleased that we give it back to the community. There's no charge for it. We've given it to the schools for their community gardens or their pollinator pathways. We've given it to the garden clubs. We keep a constant pile of finished compost at the recycling center for participants in the program. So all year round, you can come gather up a share of that compost and use it in your own yard.
Ah, that's amazing. So cool. So cool.
Thank you.
And well, of course, you know, and because this is Ridgefield Tiger Talk, where we talk about all things Ridgefield Public Schools.
Sure.
You've actually had some activities in some of our schools.
Yes. And I have to give a lot of credit to the school administrations, the PTAs that have gotten behind these efforts. Branchville Elementary School and Farmingville Elementary School have been collecting their food scraps out of their cafeterias since last spring. The Ridgefield High School Environmental Club just recently completed two waste audits. One was on the waste coming out of the cafeteria, and the second was for maybe a department you're familiar with, the culinary sciences.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. The kids were really good, really mindful of what they were doing, and really opened their eyes as to how much resource we're putting in those garbage cans instead of capturing it to be made into something else.
Absolutely. And from someone, I personally compost at home, my wife and I, and we basically use it on our gardens, and everyone always call, oh, how do you get such great yields out of your gardens? Whatever, my guy compost. I bought, you know, nice one. I think it was even on Amazon or something, and we tumble yeah. it. I mean, right now it's not a great time of year, but you know, we're still throwing some stuff in there and tumbling it around as we live through like perpetual rainstorm after rainstorm. Yes. But yeah, and it's wonderful. So that you guys can do it at such a large scale and then offer it back to the town for free is a pretty amazing service. So kudos to you guys.
It really is. When you're talking to the students about it, beyond the ease with which the service is offered by the town, the longer term effects of keeping that organic material out of the waste stream, whether it gets to our waste to energy plant in Bridgeport, or as we know, we're producing more trash than we can handle in Connecticut. So some of our garbage is getting trucked and railed to a landfill.
Yeah.
That organic material becomes methane gas.
Yep. So
keeping it out of our garbage is really important for our efforts, for the environment and minimizing those greenhouse gases.
Absolutely. Now, for parents who are listening to this, which mostly parents listen to this podcast, what are some tips and tricks that they can do at home that can help with this effort? Maybe they have young kids that they're trying to teach the proper way to do it. Yeah, as we've talked about before the show, the kids are usually the ones that are telling the parents, you know. But like, what, you know, if a parent's listening to this show, what are some of the tips and tricks that you might want to give them?
I would say slow down a little bit. You know, you're probably needing to slow down to enjoy your children. our life can get at such a speed that it's just easier to throw everything into the garbage. So if you can take that moment and think of this, is this paper? Is this a plastic tub? Is this really trash or is it recyclable? Also with the food scraps, to make it just as easy as possible, I challenge the listeners, take just one day and put like a little Tupperware bowl on your counter and gather up what would have gone into your garbage so that you can actually see that almost between, it's estimated, 25 to 33% of what is going in our garbage is actually organics.
Yeah.
And when we take that out of our garbage, first, it doesn't smell.
Yep.
And again, it's that mindfulness that it's a resource that gets turned into this really great compost. The other thing is to give yourself some grace. You don't have to recycle perfectly in order, to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, to have a positive impact.
Exactly. We have lots of resources, lots of websites to go to, lots of printed literature that we can share with families that just says, you know, get started. During this month of April, where we're celebrating and coming up with new ways to communicate on the RACE Facebook page, as well as the town website, we have a waste scavenger hunt, which again, ooh, is helping to educate. If you just work your way through the scavenger hunt, it's more about getting that information out there than it is finishing the scavenger hunt. You really only have to do 10 of the quests.
Yeah.
The Earth Day friendly prize at the recycling center. So I would encourage people to go to the RACE Facebook page or the town website and just kind of check out that scavenger hunt for a fun thing to do. It might be a spring break activity.
Oh, that's awesome. So cool. So cool. And, last but not least, people who are listening to this podcast, parents and whatnot, who are curious about maybe helping out or all the other functions of what the recycling center or maybe figuring out some other stuff that they could do to help the town. Is there a contact, an email that we could post in the description that people might be able to reach you at?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's kind of long, so it's...
I'll put it in the show notes, by the way. So if you're listening to the podcast on a modern podcasting app, it'll be in the notes. You can just click on it.
That would be great. It's recycling coordinator.
Yeah.
At richfieldct.gov.
Great.
And I'd be happy to respond. I try to make it a personal commitment to respond within 24 hours to anyone who sends me a question or a comment and I'd appreciate any help at all. We're always trying to get the word out. We're trying to get into the schools and make trash talk presentation.
Yeah, yeah.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate having this opportunity to speak to the families within the RPS community.
Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy day. And 50 years, what an amazing accomplishment. Basically 20 years ahead of the curve.
Yes.
If 1991 was the year that became mandated that we have to begin recycling. So Richfield is ahead of the curve on that. So cool. And it's amazing to see we're doing it in our schools. We're doing it in the town. It brings something back to the town. So again, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you for having me, Dr. DeSantis.
Oh, it's and as always, I want to thank our wonderful audience for listening to us, making us, I believe, the number one podcast in town. So if you're listening to the show and there are people that you know that are not listening to it, tell them to go on their favorite podcast app. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Podverse, anywhere fine podcasts can be downloaded. And just type in Richfield, boom, Tiger Talks, the first one that pops up. Like and subscribe. And that's about it. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Happy recycling.
Yeah, happy recycling. And this is Dr. D signing off. Have a great weekend.